First chapter 21, we're going to start off in verse 16. So take your time to get there, because I like it when people are reading along with me. Numbers chapter 21, starting in verse 16. We called this, I gave a title for this sermon. It says, Praise to Victory. Can you say amen? Starting in verse 16, Numbers 21, starting in verse 16, the Bible says, From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it, the well that the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staff. So I'm going to read that again in verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it, the well the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver, and with their staffs. Let's pray and ask God's grace. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, God, and your mercy, and all of your loving kindness, and for the precious blood of Jesus, God, that cleanses and that washes us. And we ask, God, that you would move upon our hearts by your Spirit in every heart, in every mind, in every soul, God, and that you would move us and stir us unto your praise and unto your worship, God, for you are worthy and you are a good and merciful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody here, good today. Here's a quote. You're waiting for deliverance, O soul, you're waiting long. Believe that your deliverance does wait for you in song. Complain not till deliverance your fetters' feet does free. Through songs of glad deliverance, God now surroundeth thee. I want to talk to you about praise. Everybody, I'm expecting everybody to say, yeah! I want to talk to you about, let's try it again. Let's try it again. We got to get stirred up here. About praise for Jesus. Can you say amen? And God's goodness. Now, here's the situation with the land, with the people of Israel. We just read that scripture. If you look before, some verses before that scripture, and maybe Numbers chapter 21, and then Numbers 20, I'm sorry, and then going through 21, what you'll find is that Aaron, the priest of God, has just died. The Bible says, hey, he's no longer going to be priest. God said that, and they strip him, and his son becomes the priest after him. After that, God begins to move the people on to a new direction, right? As they go on to one particular place, and you can read this in the earlier verses of chapter 21, as they go to one earlier place, they come upon the place with no water at all. And what do? They begin to complain. They say, Moses, have you brought us out here now to starve? Have you brought us, not to starve, but to be thirsty? Have you brought us out here so all of our children and all of our cattle can die from thirst? So God got a little bit upset, and rightly so. He's been providing for them for years, feeding them for years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals never wore out. Yet they get to a place and they have no water, and they begin to accuse God and Moses, right, saying, you brought us out here to kill us again. So what God did, and you can read this in the Bible, is he released some fiery serpents. And these serpents went around, and they start actually killing off the people of Israel, the complainers. They start killing them off because God was upset. Then the people came to Moses and said, hey, you know what? I'm so sorry, right? That's like us. God deals with us. He punishes us. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it right. That's what these guys are doing. So God tells Moses, he said, I want you to make a serpent, and I want you to raise it up on the staff, and whoever shall look at that serpent and turn to that serpent, they shall be healed from the other serpents that were biting them and killing off some of the people. So that's exactly what happens. Then after this, then they go to this part. They start traveling, and then they come to this place called Beer, right, where there is no water. They learned a lesson, though, because this time they came to that place, and the nobles, instead of complaining, right, they begin to dig with their staffs, right? All the leaders of the nation, they begin to dig, and they said, Israel, sing this song as we're digging. sing this song as we're going through this particular troubled time. And then when they begin to sing that song, the Bible says that God brought forth water. Now, how does that relate to you and I? Right? How can we bring it down to us? In James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Now, that word temptations is not necessarily a temptation to sin. What it means is trials, struggles, and tribulations, right? He says, count it all joy when you fall into them. Now, I don't know if you can imagine this, but imagine that I'm walking across the stage in my energetic way, and I'm walking and I'm talking to you guys about the Jesus, and I'm walking again, and all of a sudden, without me knowing it, a manhole opens here, and I fall through it. And I'm like, ooh. All of a sudden, I fall. Right? It's unplanned. I didn't count on it. I wasn't expecting it. I'm walking through life. I'm walking down that sidewalk. It could probably happen to me in New York because I would be looking up at the buildings because I like architecture, and I can fall down a manhole. All of a sudden, boom, I break my leg, and it's like, oh, I'm down in the sewer and the dirt or whatever it is, and it's like, where did that come from? I was just enjoying life. Can you say amen? Paul, this is what James is saying. He says, count it all joy when all of a sudden troubles come out of the middle of nowhere in your life and start attacking you. Right? He said, be happy. Can you say amen? I'm not making it up. I just got finished reading that scripture. The idea of this word fall, I'm going to bring it out because we need to understand what's going on. Because sometimes when we're walking through life and things suddenly happen to us and we're looking around like, what? Where in the world did that come from? Right? We want to know that God is still involved in our lives. So the Good Samaritan, Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan. And he brings this, and he says, hey, there was a man who was walking toward, I don't even know. I think he was walking away, or maybe he was walking toward, he was walking toward Jericho. And the Bible says, and he came upon robbers. He wasn't looking for those robbers. Those robbers were hiding around rocks, and they were waiting for passersby to come by who were minding their own business. And as soon as they got to a certain point, they would grab them all of a sudden out of the blue and begin to beat them, do whatever they did to them, and take their money and leave them there for dead. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Am I the only one remembering this? This is that idea. This idea is also expressed, this term, fall, where we suddenly come into trials. Gives us a picture of what Job was experiencing. How many remember Job? Job was going about his business. He didn't know what was going on in heaven. He didn't understand the conversation between God and the devil, right? He's living his life. He's living on the hog because he was wealthy. He had servants. She's servants. I don't know. He cattle, she cattle. He had all of that stuff going on for him. Can you say amen? Then one day, within 5 minutes, he lost all of his oxen. He lost all of his donkeys, and the servants who were watching them were killed. After that person began to talk to him, another man came up and said, the fire of God came down and burned all the sheep and the servant who were with them. Then another man came up and says, all your camels were stolen and all the servants were killed. Then another man came up to him and gave them the big blow. Your sons and daughters were in the house, and a big windstorm came about and began to beat against the corners of the house, and now all of them are dead. Job got that in a matter of 5 minutes, probably even shorter, one thing after another. The Bible says, count it all joy if you read the King James Version, it says divers. That word talks about various types of temptations. But it's not just the variety of the temptations. It's talking about how those temptations all of them come on you from every side at one time. Have you ever been there? Right? Driving down the street. I remember one time I was driving. I lived in, I got to keep track of the time. I lived in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and I had to drive to Las Cruces, New Mexico every morning, 70 miles back and forth. And one time they were doing some construction. So I have a little, a Honda Civic hybrid. So I'm driving, you know, that's low to the ground. And I'm obviously going fast. And then I slowed down to get to the construction. They made us move over to the side where they were, you know, because they were doing the road construction. When I moved over, all of a sudden, boom, two of my tires went flat just like that. And I'm like, what? I was saved, so I didn't curse. Praise God, right? Are you guys with me? God was still trying to help me here. And I'm like, what is going on here? I get out of my car, and all of a sudden, I'm going to be late for work because both my tires on the right-hand side or the passenger side are now gone. So I get out of my car, and I'm thinking, okay, somebody has to fix this because I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And the construction workers came over, and it didn't just happen to me. It happened to some other people, too. And they said, but you're going to have to wait an hour and a half before they go. I'm like, I have to go to work. So I had to call my job and everything. But it was all of a sudden of a trial. Here's the problem. The problem Jesus already gave us is not a problem. He already promised us. He said, you're going to have tribulations. Anybody who's in Christ Jesus is going to have them. Paul tells us that also. Anybody who's there is going to have them. Peter says, you know, for a season you may have to suffer tribulation. So all of us are going to suffer something. We're going to suffer at our jobs. We're going to go through things sometimes in our marriage. Our wives are going to hate us. We're going to hate our wives. We're going to hate our children. We're going to hate our dog. Can you say amen? I've been there. Right? I've been there, buddy. And it seemed like, what is going on? My life was peaceful before, and now all of a sudden is in chaos. So we're promised that. The problem with us is when we do get into the struggle, we do exactly like the Israelites did. What do? Say it again, sis. Complain and gripe and moan. We go to God in prayer and we're like, you, Jesus, you know the beginning from the end. You know the story of my days. You knew this was going to happen and you could have stopped it. Come on, am I the only one who's saying that? My job is gone. You knew this was going to happen. Now I'm struggling, and now I'm going through all this stuff. And where are you? You're not even around. We go through this sometimes spiritually when we go into prayer, and sometimes when we get into prayer, we don't even feel like God is around us. It's bibbidi bop, blah, blah, blah. Come on. We're trying to pray. We could be in the middle of a revival. I remember coming here, and we were in the middle of revival. I used to sit in my chair. Everybody else is excited. I'm like, what are they excited for? Can we talk about it? What are we excited for? And at that time, I was doing song service. My God, help us all. Can you say amen? I was like, what is everybody excited for? You know why? Because I was going through a struggle. And though I did not point my finger at God directly, I was pointing my finger at God. I'm not going to respond to this. Preach all you want. I've been around. Right? I've heard the best of them. Preach all you want. But I'm not even getting into this. Why? Because I'm struggling and I'm indirectly saying, God, it's your fault. It's your fault that I'm going through all this. It's your fault that my life is so messed up. And I began to complain. You know what? When we complain, all that does is causes God to move away from us. How many of you like a complaining child? Do you? I don't. No, I don't. Sometimes if your kids, I was like, somebody needs to get a hold of that baby. Right? And if you're old enough, somebody needs to give them a, you know, not beat them, but I don't know. Somebody may need that too. You know, give them a spanking. Somebody needs to get control. You know why? Because no one likes a complaining person. No one. I can go to my job and things can go wrong and I'll go out on the ops floor and I try to talk to some of those guys and all. I didn't get the promotion. I was like, what? I didn't even know what the promotion. What promotion? What promotion did you not get? Why didn't get it? And mad God and blah 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 blah. You know what I try to do? I try to get away. Maybe that's why you didn't get the promotion, because your bosses are seeing that all you do is gripe and complain all the time when things don't go your way. Can you say amen? So here's that problem that we have, is that we begin to complain to God. Let's go back to James chapter 2, starting on, count it all joy when you enter in diverse temptations and struggles, when they come upon you out of the blue and sometimes from all sides. That word count is very interesting. Before, I used to think, you know, count it all joy, like count it good for you, like, you know, look at it as something good. You know, that word means more than that. If you look it up in the Greek, it actually means, watch this, to lead. It talks about a captain, and it talks about a chieftain. And I'm thinking, and just like you're thinking, well, what does that mean to count it all joy? As you begin to look at this and you study it out some more, you know what God is saying? He says, when you go into temptation and a struggle, let your praises lead the way as you're going through it. Did you? No, oh, thank you, Nixon. Everybody else is looking at me like, I'm not going to praise. Let's say it again. Let's say it one more time. Count it all joy. When you enter in diverse, let what? Let the praises of God and the joy of God's Spirit lead you as you're going into the struggle. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go through struggle one day. And you know what? You are too. Yours may be different. I'm not, you know, my sister says, Mike, you can't speak that because you're changing the atmosphere. Well, Jesus already said it. Did he not? So he already changed the atmosphere in our universe because he spoke it. Paul said it. Peter said it. And now James is saying it. We are going to go through struggles at times, even in our Christian life. And what God is wanting us to tell us is that, hey, as we go through these struggles, we need to walk into them and walk through them, not with complaining, not with griping, but with the joy of God's Spirit, and we need to give him praise. That's what the Israelites did. They ran out of water. They said, okay, we learned from the fiery serpents one time. Can you say amen? We're not going to complain anymore. What did they start doing? We're going to get down to work. We're going to go through this. Because they didn't say, well, you know what, God, you're God of all the universe. You could have caused that water to come up. Why do I have to dig? But they didn't, because they could have, right? But they didn't. They said, we're going to dig. And you know what? Sing to it, Israel. And they begin to sing a song. And as soon as they begin to sing that song and dig to that and keep on going, God began to bring the water. If you want victory, if we want victory in our lives, if we want complete victory, I'm not saying of life lack of without any trouble. We're going to have troubles. But if we want victory in those troubles so that we can go through them, we have to praise God through it. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But you know what? When you start thinking, when I start thinking about what Jesus has done for me, the blood that he shed, you know, I don't deserve to go to heaven. Yeah, oh, well, Mark, we got saved. Well, yeah, we got saved, but sometimes I still slip up. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But when I do slip up and you slip up, what happens? Grace. We run to God and we say, God, I don't deserve your mercy. I deserve judgment, but I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to forgive me. What does God do? He forgives us. He washes us. He cleanses us. He cleanses us. He deals with us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He helps us. He blesses us with finances. And then there's the unseen blessing that we don't even know, where God keeps us out of danger and trouble. I used to think that was crazy. When God, how can I be thankful for something that I don't see? Can you say amen? But you know what? God keeps us out of a lot of stuff we don't see. Accidents, car accidents. He's kept me out of car accidents because I'm absent-minded sometimes. Can we say amen? And I'm driving down the road with responsible drivers, and I'm busy looking at the airplane because I love airplanes when they take off. I'm looking at the airport as they take off, and I almost ran into somebody. But God turns my head around. He saved me. That was God. I said, God, I give you the praise because I'm being stupid looking at stinking airplanes. Can we say amen? And then I go right back and start doing it again because I have to drive by the airport, and I love to see those things take off. Amen. Driving through the forest sometimes. I just do weird stuff. But you know, God has saved me from a lot. He saved me from a lot. Even when I'm in trouble, even things that I've caused on my own, God has helped me get through it. And you know what? He has helped you too. Can you think of it right now? Think about all the times God has helped you, where you didn't think you were going to have food on the table, but God gave you the food. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent, but God gave you the rent somehow. Are you with me? I don't know how I'm going to pay this medical bill, but somehow the medical bill was paid, and you're free. I don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes God heals our body. Can you say amen? This is the goodness of God, folks. It's not even just about salvation, and it's wonderful that we're going to be able to go to heaven, but even he gives us so much here and now that we can enjoy, that we can come to church, and we can raise our hands, and we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. Say amen. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou encompass him as with a shield. Rejoice. Count it all joy. Let the spirit of joy. We don't have that in us. God, give me the joy of the Holy Ghost. He says, I will give you an abundance of joy. But we have to ask him for it. We don't have that naturally. We don't. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, our hyperactivity isn't joy. Because, can we talk about it? I may be hyperactive, but that's not joy. Can you say amen? But there is a joy that I know I have in God's spirit, and it has carried me through a whole bunch of garbage in my life. Right? We are to rejoice in the Lord and let the praises of Jesus be upon our lips as we're struggling and as we're going through those difficult times. In Psalms chapter 107, 15, it says, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Right? Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. It says, don't worry about stuff. Don't let it bug you out. I thought there was something up there. It says, don't let it bug you out. Don't let it keep you awake all night. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Right? We don't stop going to church, you know. I'm not going to go to that church. That's what we do, right? I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. Where's the Word of God? And that's not what he's saying. He's saying now, instead of us doing that, let's go and get on our knees and say, God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercies that you give me every single day, that I mess up every day because I have to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness every day. I thank you for those mercies that are renewed every morning. I thank you for the grace and the strength that you give me to go throughout my day. I thank you for the blessing of my children. I thank you for my wife. I thank you that I'm able to, you know, everything. We can thank God for something and then say, God, you know what? I'm in a situation now and I need your help. Can you remember me? I tell you what, God will hear that voice than he will the voice of complaining. Can we, did you get this? Catherine, right? Yes, you did. She said, amen. Psalms 103, verse 3, it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. It's pleasant for us. God already has perfect peace. But when we begin to praise, it's pleasant for us. It's the right thing for us to do as believers in God as we walk with him. It says in Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Can you say amen? The next time anyone, you know, we got to laugh at ourselves. You got to laugh at ourselves. Next time something happens, just say praise God. You know, people insult me on my job. My family will insult me when I went back. Some of them, they don't believe in Christianity. They'll insult me. You know what I tell them? I say, thank you so much for that compliment. Are you with me? I do. I said, you can go ask him. They're like, this guy is crazy. They insult me. I said, you know, thank you so much for that word. You know why? Because God is on my side. Are you with me? And I'm going to rejoice in God and let no one take my joy away. Can you say amen? Why don't we bow our heads real quick and we're going to ask, well, I was going to ask if the piano player would come up and play, but amen. You're here today in this place. I want to talk to you today. You're here in this place while every eye is closed and every head is bowed. And you are not a Christian. You don't know the love of God. You never said, Jesus Christ, come into my life. You've never come to him and said, God, I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. For now on, I'm going to lead my life in your way and not in my way. I'm going to let you guide me. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to begin to live for you and live clean for you. And you're here. You've never done that. You've never said, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want you to raise your hand and put it right back down all over this place. The Spirit of God is here. You've never said that. You've never said, God, I need forgiveness. I am really a sinner, and I wouldn't make heaven my home if I died this evening. I want you to raise your hand if you're here. Okay, now I'm going to talk to everyone else. Saints, I'm believing everyone here is saved. This is a real thing that we go through. That when we run into struggle, when we run into difficulty, we begin to blame somebody else. It's my husband. It's my friend. It's my wife. It's God. It's the pastor. It's that church. We always begin to complain about the situation. It's my boss. If I didn't have this coworker, if my kids would just be this way. We complain, complain, complain. And I'm going to tell you something. God is saying, no, I don't want to hear complaints. I can't bless that. But I can bless it when you come to me and you say, thank me. And you say, thank you. And you give me praise. And you begin to sing. And you begin to offer thanksgiving in your prayer life. God can deal with that. And he can make victory. He can make victory spring up in your life and in your situation. It's praise to victory. That's the title. Praise to victory. We want victory, we have to praise. Amen. These altars are open. Why don't you guys come up if God's Spirit has dealt with you? And I'll go over there and play that song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Soul, Jesus, I will never let you go.